In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exhorts his followers to embrace standards of righteousness that exceed legal requirements and traditional expectations. Our gospel this morning comes from the 5th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, beginning with the 21st verse. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, then come quickly, offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It's better to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it's the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. We've all got choices in front of us. Some choices are easy to make, others not quite as easy. So, for example, let's say that there were two plates in front of us today. On one of those plates was a perfect cut of steak, prepared just the way you like it, perfectly seasoned, and beside it is a steaming baked potato with everything that you like on it, and then a pile of vegetables like maybe broccoli that was just perfectly cooked. On the other plate, one hot dog from a pack of 69-cent Corn King hot dogs. Which you gonna choose? Or maybe seafood is more your deal, and on the one plate there is this beautiful steaming lobster, a pile of Alaskan king crab legs, and just a bit of halibut. It looks so good. And on the other plate, overcooked lutefisk. I mean, even if you like lutefisk, you throw the overcooked portion in it and no one wants to go near it. Choices. There are always choices that are placed before us. Some of them are easy to make. Some of them come along just once or twice. And some choices we need to make again and again and again. Today, we're going to spend some time thinking about this text in Deuteronomy, some time thinking about the gospel, but especially in Deuteronomy, we are laid in front of us choices, life or death, blessings or curse, Moses says. But before we jump into Deuteronomy, it is really important to lay a foundation. And here's the foundation. The very first choice that was ever made was not ours. It was God's. God made a choice all the way back to the beginning of creation. It was God, recorded in the first chapter and first verses of the book of Genesis. It was God who made a choice. A choice to pull out of the murky nothingness all of creation. Fish and fowl, all of the plants, every animal. Everything down to the smallest microbes. God chose to create all of it. The choice began with God. And if you jump with me to the 12th chapter of the Gospel, or of the book of Genesis, God makes another choice, a foundational choice as well. That Abram would be God's people, and that God would be Abram's God. So Abram and Sarai were there, and all of the sudden, this mysterious one comes to them and says, go. Pick up everything you've got and go. Go to the land that I will show you. Go away from your kindred. Go from the land that you are familiar with. Go. God made a choice to come and connect with them and invite them into a relationship. And you know the story. Abram and Sarai packed up and they went. Now we're going to fast forward all the way ahead into the book of Deuteronomy. And as we are there, the people are invited to make a choice. Life or death, blessing or curse, and it seems so simple when it's laying there on the page. Sometimes it doesn't feel quite as simple in our lives as we just go on minute by hour by day. But the choice is there. Life or death, blessing or curse. Remember, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses preparing God's people to go into the promised land, the land that was promised to the people all the way back with Abram and Sarai. Moses is not going to get to go into the land. He will be left there on the mountain to die, and it will be Joshua that leads him in. And Moses knows that sometimes when all of your dreams come true, there are incredible dangers. Now, the land is flowing with milk and honey. You wouldn't think that there would be dangers there, but the danger is that the people would fall away from God and choose something different. Remember, the land that they're going into is not empty. There are other people there who worship other gods with a small g. And Moses knows that as they intermingle and intermarry and get to know one another, there is always the possibility that they could turn their back on God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and forget. Now, you'd think it would be an easy decision to make because they have seen what they've seen. The chosen people moved from being God's people to all of the sudden being in slavery in Egypt. And then God calls up Moses, and you remember the story. Moses leads the chosen people out. And then God continued to act again and again and again on their behalf. Almost immediately after being set free from slavery, they wind up against the Dead Sea with chariots coming after them because Pharaoh had changed his mind. But God parted the seas and let them go dry shod through to the other side. And if that wasn't enough, God continued to lead them for 40 years through the wilderness. Pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. God was always there leading, guarding, and protecting. And when they were hungry, there was manna and quail and water. After seeing all of that for 40 long years, you think that the decision, the choice would be easy. Well, I'll take life. I'll take blessing. But Moses knows. Moses knows the chosen people. And Moses knows us. Because it is easy to forget where our sustenance comes from. It is easy in the mundane, ordinary days that stretch on and on and on, it is easy to forget and not make choices at all, but just begin to slide away. So we go into this gospel as Jesus also is on top of a mountain. Gathered around him are people he is teaching. And I've told you before that, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is seen as a new Moses. And when Jesus is on a mountain, expect revelation. And so here he is teaching the Sermon on the Mount with those around him. And he reinterprets the law to them. I don't know about you, but some of us can come to the place where we believe that, well, we're fine. God had taken care of. Those Ten Commandments, piece of cake, can follow those. Haven't stolen lately, haven't killed anyone, don't commit adultery, I'm good. And then Jesus comes along and raises the bar. Not just a little bit, but raises the bar. So if you think ill of your friend, you've broken the commandment. Failed that one. Pretty spectacularly, I failed that one. And then Jesus speaks about adultery and divorce, and it's really important to understand that the world that Jesus was living in is not our world today. Women in Jesus' time were property. So when we talk about divorce and adultery, what we are really talking about is a sin or an offense against a man's property. So what does this say in the world today, where women are no longer viewed as property, thanks be to God, it means that both sexes are able to fall victim to Jesus' view of adultery that is not just an act, it is a thought. We fail. We want to say that we make choices again and again for life and blessing. But the truth is, we fail. Again and again, we fail to live up to the law. And that's where the cross comes in. We cannot find righteousness or perfection or holiness before God on our own. And God knew that. And so God made a choice to send the only begotten Son, that one would die and rise again, that our sins would be forgiven. The choice was completely God's. And when we grab hold of that choice that God made, there is life, and there is blessing. Thanks be to God. Amen.